Hey, ladies, this is Leslie Tavernier, and I'm really excited to have you on today's episode. It's going to be amazing. We're going to really be covering a hot topic, romance and finance. Real men prefer women who have money. We're going to get into that with my very special guest today, my own dark masculine man, Carl E. Stevens Jr., aka Rakim Sekou. So before we get into today's topic, Rakim, can you share a little bit about yourself with my listeners?
Peace and blessings. My name is Carl E. Stevens Jr., spiritual name Rakim Sekou. I am a teacher, relationship expert, and metaphysician. Been teaching about relationships for about 20 years, spirituality and metaphysics as well. I've written a number of books about relationships, including Nine Expressions of Love with my wife, Kenya K. Stevens, and Up Level Communication. And I have a school called the Mystery School Live, where we teach about women's empowerment, spirituality, building your queendom, and coming into your goddess energy.
Amazing stuff. Thank you so much for being here,
Oh,
Rakim.
you're welcome. It's my
So,
pleasure.
my first question to you, I really want to just dive in.
Yeah,
You,
just dive right into the
yeah,
hardcore.
you, I'm gonna really,
No,
you
no foreplay at all, just
know
straight to the intercourse, Leslie.
exactly. You like having women spend money on you. Is that correct?
Yes, every human being loves when a human being spends money on them, without exception.
Every human being. Okay. So, okay.
Yes, I enjoy it too. I also enjoy gifts. I enjoy being treated like a king. I enjoy when women want to provide things for me and gift things for me. And I love when women take me out and when they want to buy me gifts. Like, I love all that. And most men do, most women do as well.
Okay. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. So, okay. Are you saying that when a woman spends money on you, and I mean a woman that you're in relationship with, your wife, your partner, girlfriend, whatever, when she spends money on you still feel like a real man?
Absolutely. I expect all the women that I deal with to be willing and desirous to spend money on me and to buy me gifts and to do things for me. I expect that of my wives. I expect them to buy me gifts. Like, I just had a birthday. My second wife bought me a number of gifts. She bought me two suits. She bought me a new pair of running sneakers, amongst some other things. And I greatly appreciate that.
Okay. So, you know, the reason why I say real man in my question is because there's a lot of very popular social media influencers right now, both male and female, who have huge followings. And they're saying the same message over and over and over again to their audience, which is that a real man, quote unquote, should financially provide for his woman. And they're usually talking to monogamous minded people. They're not really talking about polyamory. But a real man, not only should he pro financially provide for his woman, but he should take pride in financially providing for his woman. And the women are being told that, you know, if you really want to be in your feminine in relationship with a man, then you shouldn't even consider any man other than a man who is willing and able to financially provide for you. So when I hear you say that, you know, you still feel like a real man when women spend money on you and buy you gifts, you know, how, like, can you help us understand how you're able to still feel like a real man despite what all these other influences are saying?
Well, yeah. So first of all, a woman spending money on me and a woman buying me gifts doesn't mean that I'm not also spending money on her or providing in some kind of way. So, you know, with all the women that I deal with, that I'm in relationship with, I do provide on a number of levels for those women. That provision fluctuates based on the kind of relationship it is and the stage of the marriage that we're in. So, for example, my first wife and I, Kenya, we've been married for almost 30 years. There were times when I was 100% the provider. And then there were times where we were in business together, where we're making money together and providing for each other. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, what's important is that each of the people inside the union are comfortable with pursuing their passions, doing the things that feel good to them. And that's what really counts. So my wife, my first wife, Kenya, for example, she loves her passion of coaching. She loves her passion of writing books. She loves her passion of doing business mm-hmm. for the empowerment of women and healing relationships and creating systems to support relationships. So she doesn't want to not do anything. That's not in her nature. That mm-hmm. doesn't give her fulfillment to just sit at home and do nothing. Now, she's done that before. Mm-hmm. When I was the 100% provider, she was at home with the children and she cooked 2-3 meals a day and did all of those types of things. But that was at a particular stage of our marriage and relationship and doesn't account for the totality of who she is as a woman. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I find disingenuous from a lot of these quote unquote dating coaches that you talk about, one, most of them are not married and many of them have not been married for a significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, most of them have had major relationship failures in their life. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I've never been divorced. My mm-hmm. wife, Kenya, and I, we got married when we were in our early 20s, and we've been married ever since. I also have an additional wife, Karina. We've been together we celebrated our third wedding anniversary just earlier, a few months ago. And so I don't really see the relationship success with a lot of these dating coaches. Mm-hmm. I don't see them having the actual track record to really substantiate what they're saying. It sounds good in theory. But what women have to understand is you have to look at yourself and decide what feels good to you. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to work and you want to stay at home and you want to, you know, be a mother and, you know, a cook and house, you know, mate for your partner, then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. The issue with what these dating coaches are saying is like that is the only way to do things or mm-hmm. that is the natural order. And it's not the natural order. Mm-hmm. Masculine energy is not just assigned to male-bodied human beings. Mm-hmm. Feminine energy is not just assigned to female-bodied human beings. We all use both masculine and feminine energy every single day, mm-hmm. no matter who we are. You know, if you get up out of bed, you've just used masculine energy. You know, if you brush your teeth, you've just used masculine energy. So I just find it very disingenuous what some of these people are saying and the advice that they're giving. Mm-hmm. But I think it's fine. If you're a woman and you want to be taken care of, then I think it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing is, are you actually living the laws and doing the things that are required to get that for you? What I also find is that these dating coaches don't know what to really say or how to tell these people what to do to actually create that for themselves. Mm. A lot of women feel they're entitled to having that and that they don't have to do anything to get it. And that's not true.
Yeah.
Whether utilizing masculine energy or feminine energy, there are things you must do as a woman in order to create that life for yourself. So there's a number of things that you need to do, whether it's to focus on your look or to improve your self-esteem or to do the self work that's required to make you attracted to the kind of men who are willing to provide for you in that way, mm-hmm. or you need to do work to battle your ego, or you need to learn some real powerful feminine tools that will allow you to actually create the life that you claim that you want for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see a lot of beautiful women, what you need to understand is that they're doing a lot of work to put themselves in a position to look a certain way and to walk and talk a certain way. They've cultivated a number of skills. They've cultivated a number of practices within themselves that are making them attractive. Beauty is a lifestyle. It's a choice. It's not something you're bestowed with. I know people believe you're just bestowed with beauty or you're bestowed with handsomeness, but that's not the case. Mm-hmm. It's actually a lifestyle that you choose, just like love is a lifestyle that you choose. And so as a woman, if you're willing to actually do the work, then you can have whatever you want. I support women in having whatever they want, mm-hmm. whether it's to be at home, and have a man take care of you and provide for you, or if it's to also pursue your dreams and your passions and go out into the world and create, you know, businesses for yourself or whatever those things might be. Mm-hmm. So that's my take on what some of these dating coaches are saying. Does that clarify?
Amazing. That's such an amazing response. So what I'd like to know is, Rakim, how many years were you the financial provider for your family?
I was the financial provider for my family for about 12 years.
Okay.
All right. So during that time, my wife didn't work at all. Mm-hmm. I think she had one small little job where we were schooling our children in a private school, and she went up to that school and did some work at that school. But that was more of a passion. She wanted to be around the children. Mm-hmm. But I made the money and provided for me and the family for the first 12 years.
Yeah. So you chose to play the traditional provider husband role. You did that for 12 years. So how did you transition out of that mindset of, okay, I've got to be the male provider, financial provider, into I enjoy letting women spend money on me? Like, how did you psychologically make that shift?
Well, again, even when I was the provider, my wife still spent money on me. She still bought me gifts. She would still take me out from time to time. So there was never a time in my life where women weren't gifting me something. That's just not a part of my reality. Mm-hmm. Women have always wanted to do things for me. They've always wanted to, you know, take me out at times or do things for my birthday or do special things for me. So I've never, ever had a time in my life where women weren't providing something to me or gifting me something or taking me out on some level. Mm-hmm. Even if I was the primary provider, I've always had women gifting me things and providing me things. So that's the reality I've created for myself. Mm-hmm. In terms of my wife, when she decided to go do her thing and how we transitioned is, you know, she was really starting to get into her own personal passion. Mm-hmm. You know, and her and I had a discussion one day. I said, hey, you know, you have some amazing talent in this particular area. And I said, you should take some time to develop that talent. And so while I was at work doing my thing and traveling around the country and providing, she was working on, you know, what she wanted to do and how she wanted to develop it and how she wanted to make it a business. Mm-hmm. And so over time, you know, she came up with a whole business concept for herself. And she named the business herself and, you know, she went into business herself and I supported her in that. Mm-hmm. So again, I support women who have particular sets of passions they want to follow. And I don't feel like that women should not be allowed to pursue what they want to pursue for themselves. Mm-hmm. And in my case, my wife wanted to pursue doing women's empowerment as a business. She was one of the first women to actually do that. I know it's a very popular thing now, but for people who don't know, back in 2004, 2005, my wife had actually started doing that work and kind of launched the women's empowerment business to be what it is today. She was the first one to talk about women's sexual freedom. She was the first one to talk about women being able to, you know, work with their femininity and create magic and all those types of things. So she was one of the authors of what a lot of people are seeing out there today. And that was her passion. Mm-hmm. You know, and thanks to her and her work, a lot of women are now getting into that. They're getting into coaching. They're getting into relationship things. They're getting into women's empowerment. They're getting into women having the freedom that they feel they desire for themselves. And so that's what it's really about for me. So if my wives want to pursue a particular thing, then I'm going to support them in doing that, period, point blank.
Yeah. And your first wife, Kenya, I mean, she was a major influence on me. I would not be doing the coaching that I'm doing today had it not been for the training that she provided me over a period of many years. So the next question that I have for you is that recently I saw you share a video, a reel of Dr. Umar Johnson, the psychologist. And he was talking to another gentleman, and he was, you know, saying like, these men who are complaining that women are masculine, and Dr. Umar was saying, you know, it's our responsibility as men. If we don't like it that the women are masculine, then we need to step up our masculinity so that the women can be in their feminine. And it seemed like you were agreeing with him. And the reason why I bring that up is because I think a big part of the popularity amongst women in terms of this desiring a male financial provider is because a lot of women are frigging exhausted from work. They're exhausted from having to be in their masculine in order to make money, in order to provide for themselves and their children. Like, the women are tired. And so, you know, when you say like, well, you know, I don't mind when a woman spends money on me, like, how do you align that with your agreement with Dr. Umar Johnson about, you know, men need to step up their masculinity when so many women are like basically crying from exhaustion?
Well, yeah, what Dr. Umar was saying is that the reason why, and he's talking about the Black community specifically, he's saying the reason why the community is the way it is, right? Where we have so many women who are needing to be masculine. And he didn't say this, but he implied it, why there's so many men who are in their feminine is because, you know, men historically in our community have not done a good job training our sons and training, you know, the boys in our community to grow up to be men. And so, yeah, I agree with him on that. I mean, the reason why we're seeing all this confusion in the dating world right now, the reason why all these, you know, dating coaches and these influencers are making money is because people don't really understand the ins and outs of dating. They don't understand what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. They don't understand masculine energy and what that looks like, or feminine energy, what that looks like. So these people are trying to figure that out. But what he's saying is right. I mean, what we have is a number of men. A lot of these men have grown up with single mothers and without masculine influence in their life. And they don't really understand or know how to be a man or how to treat a woman because they've never seen that before. And then a lot of these women, again, they're growing up without fathers. They're not really being taught how to be inside their feminine energy because their mothers are in crisis mode and fight or flight mode and trying to put food on the table. And so they grow up not understanding the power of feminine energy and how to attract a man and how to attract, you know, good treatment. They don't know what good treatment from a man even looks like, which is why a lot of women end up ruining good relationships with great men they have, because they don't know that they're receiving great treatment from this man. They're looking for some other kind of masculine expression. So I agree with him that the community is where it's at now because we as men haven't taken a leadership role to create a scenario where we have people who understand what family is, what relationships are, how to be men, how to be women, right? And so, you know, the men he was talking to on the panel, they're complaining about the women. And so he's saying, like, you really shouldn't be complaining about them because they have to be that way because we as a masculine community haven't done our job to make sure that the community is where it needs to be, that our women are where they need to be, that our women are safe. The reason why I agree with what Dr. Umar is saying is because that's a masculine stance to take. So one a masculine attribute is called accountability. And so when you see something in your family, or in your life, or in your community that's not right, when you're inside your masculine energy, then you tend to take accountability for it. So you say, well, what have I not done to cause this to happen on my watch? Why am I an adult and I'm seeing all this dysfunction in my life and in my community, in my neighborhood, in my family? There must be something I'm not doing as a man that's, you know, perpetuating a better scenario in my life and in my neighborhood and in my community. So from that standpoint, he's really coming from a masculine standpoint. The men he's talking to are coming from a feminine standpoint, or a what we call like a beta male standpoint. They're trying to push all the blame of everything on other people. Mm-hmm. Like the women, they're complaining about the women and they're complaining about, you know, men who are not good men, and they're not really looking at themselves and saying, what do I need to do to provide the scenario that I want to enjoy as a man? What do I need to change? What do I need to shift? How can I influence other people in a positive light to make this thing what it should be in our community? So those men didn't take that perspective. Mm-hmm. They were really all about me, me, me. And they sounded very whiny. They sounded very immature. They sounded like children who had not been initiated into adulthood. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I like that clip from Dr. Umar because, you know, he's taking accountability. He's taking responsibility. He's talking like an actual man who's in their masculine and leadership nature would talk. Now, if you might disagree with some of the things he was saying, but the point is he was taking accountability. That's what we need men to do, is take accountability for your life, for your neighborhood, for your community, and not just complain about it. You know, it's not, nobody wants to hear men complaining about stuff. You see what I'm saying? Like, we are here to provide solutions and then go into action to make things happen. Now, we as men, we can get support if we're having a hard time or if we're struggling or whatever. We come together as men, as brothers, and we vent to each other. We support each other in how we're feeling. But like out here in the world, complain about women, that's what we call beta male behavior. Any man you hear that's talking about women are the reason why they're having a hard time or can't find a relationship or can't find a marriage or can't find happiness inside their marriage, that's beta male behavior. Mm-hmm. You have to, as a man, go out and get the skills that you need to create the life that you want. And that's not just in relationships, that's also financially. You have to go out and get the skills that you need to be able to earn the money that you need to make or want to make for yourself. Mm-hmm. If you want a certain body and a certain level of fitness, you've got to go out and do the work in the gym and hire a fitness coach if you need to, or do whatever you got to do to get yourself right, work on your diet, whatever it is. So this is how a man approaches life. Mm-hmm. He approaches it from an accountability standpoint, that whatever I need to see, whatever I want, I need to go out and get after it and make it happen. It's kind of like when you listen to, you know, David Goggins, who's also a male influencer. You know, he talks about taking accountability for your life. Mm-hmm. He talks about looking at yourself first and saying, what do I need to fix within me to make my life better? What are the demons I need to face within myself to make my life better? Not to complain about what women are doing or not doing, not to complain about what the government's doing or not doing. Like that perspective and that, you know, that train of thought's not going to help you in any way. So that's why I agree with what Dr. Umar was talking about.
So my question around that, Rakim, is when you say accountability and leadership and responsibility, does that then tie into what these influencers are saying, which is an accountable masculine man would want to provide financially for his woman? Is that something you're in agreement with?
Yeah, an accountable masculine man. Mm-hmm. Many of those men are going to choose to provide for their women in a particular way, and the women that they choose. Many of those men are going to decide to not be 100% providers because their life and their mission is about something else. So maybe they are more into community service, or, you know, they're more on the artist thing, or they're more entrepreneurs. And so they're looking for women who understand where they are, what they're here to do, and that they might not be 100% providers, you know, at least not for the entirety of the relationship. And so if women don't want those men, that's fine. You see what I'm saying? But the point is that no, not all men who are in their masculine and 100% accountable are always going to take the, you know, posture that they're going to provide 100% for a woman. That's not how that works. You can be in your man, be masculine, and you can marry a woman who makes as much money as you do or more, and still be fully in your masculine and take accountability for your relationship and your life while she is providing and paying for half of the bills or whatever it might be. One thing these influencers don't understand is like how real relationships actually work. The way real relationships work is that a man and woman will come together and they'll decide together how they're going to figure things out. A lot of times what they're talking about when they're talking about women just not doing anything, they're really talking about like women marrying like their sugar daddy or something like that. You see what I'm saying? They're not talking about a woman who's an equal partner in a relationship who sits down with her man and decides how they're going to take life together. And so I think that's the difference. You know, like I said before, life is dynamic. The way things are today inside of our marriage is not going to be the same way it is 5 years from now or 10 years from now. Things might look different. I might be the breadwinner right now, and my wife might be the breadwinner 10 years from now. It doesn't change who I am as a man. What changes who I, or what establishes who I am as a man is how I function inside the relationship. So if my wife is the breadwinner, she is making a lot of money, am I doing the things to support her in that? Am I supporting her emotionally? Am I providing space for her to rest and relax and get downtime? Am I giving her the kind of sex that she needs so that she can feel like she's being engaged with a real masculine? Am I protecting her? Am I helping her manage her funds? Am I helping her, you know, make decisions and choices in her life? Like, that's how the masculine actually shows up inside relationships. It's not just based on the amount of money you make. And that's a false narrative that these dating coaches are pushing. Mm-hmm. Masculine energy has nothing to do with you being the actual breadwinner. It does have something to do with your level of hustle. It does have something to do with, you know, what you're willing to do for your wife or your girlfriend in terms of being there to support her and to listen to her and to, you know, be able to hold space for her. It does have a lot to do with that. But no, it's not a 100%. If you're masculine, you're the breadwinner. That's completely and totally ridiculous.
Powerful stuff. So next question, you know, in this society, it's, if a man publicly states that he is the financial provider for his wife or girlfriend or whatever, that's something that generally speaking, most people would respect him for. But if a woman publicly says the same thing, that I financially provide for my boyfriend or husband, whether 100% or partial, or even when a woman, like I've seen female coaches who are very, very successful, who have said, you know what, I succeeded at retiring my husband from corporate America, and now he works for my company. And I've seen those women get a lot of flack because people will then say, you know, oh, you're emasculating your husband. It's only a matter of time before he divorces you. You know, so people don't really respect, and I'm talking generally here, the collective doesn't generally respect women who admit to being a financial provider for their husband or boyfriend. So how can women who are in a financial provider position, how can they let go of the shame and the embarrassment that they can feel? Because like society as a collective does not really respect women who provide financially for men.
Well, the reality is, you know, there are more women providing for their households than people would care to admit. Again, that's why these dating coaches and these influencers, they're really not in touch with reality. Mm-hmm. In reality, you know, there are just as many women providing for their households or contributing to their households as there are men. Okay. So we need to like erase this narrative, like it's a rare thing that a woman's a provider. You know, like when I was growing up, there was always women who were like making a lot of money, very powerful inside their family, very powerful inside their community. And they were making just as much money, if not more, than their husbands. When I was working in corporate America, I had a lot of women who were my managers or bosses. Those women were the breadwinners in their family because they were making a ton of money. They were making six figures. And this is like 20, 30 years ago. They were making a ton of money. Some of their husbands were stay at home. So again, like in the real world, their women are just as much the breadwinner and making money as men. Yeah, again, these influencers are talking about this because it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it creates likes and it creates, you know, clicks and, you know, it brings them followers and that kind of stuff. But it's not really real. Mm-hmm. That this is what they're talking about is not the real world. The real world is there are, you know, hundreds of thousands of women with degrees and education and amazing jobs and making a ton of money. And there's a lot of women who are entrepreneurs. Like, you know, women in Hollywood, some of the best producers and directors in Hollywood are women, and they're making a ton of money. Okay. So it's like, we're not really talking about this in a realistic way. This again, the stuff you're hearing online, most of that stuff is fake. It's like professional wrestling. It's just not real. So when you say that a lot of people don't like it, I mean, who are we talking about? We're usually talking about people who they're not in relationships. they're upset they can't create their own, you know, solid marriage or relationship scenario. So they're basically online all day complaining and that kind of stuff. These are not real people who are actually going out and making things happen or getting real advice from people who know and understand or doing the real work at home. In addition to that, it's not that, you know, when a man says he provides for his wife that people accept that. The narrative is changing. You know, you have to understand that a lot of times when men would say that, it's because they really want to control their wives. It's because these men don't want to actually step into their masculinity and support their wives and being inside their feminine and actually coming together as a power couple and making decisions and choices together. They would rather have an edge over their woman so that she has to comply with certain things that he says. So these men are more so cowards. A lot of these men are beta males. They're just trying to control their women and control the choices that they have. They're not really looked at the same way as they used to be. There's a lot of women who are hip to the game now. They're like, I'm not going to be in a situation where I don't have any options and I have no control, where a man's going to control all of my financial, you know, opportunities and things of that nature, and I'm just subject to him. Like, women are not doing that anymore. That's why women bring money when they go on dates. You know, even if the man's treating, if they have to leave and catch an Uber or whatever on their own, they're going to do that because they're not going to be caught up with somebody who's acting like an asshole. And but they have to sit there and listen and be subjected to that just because he's got the money. So we're not doing that anymore. The new paradigm of relationships is not, you know, anybody being subject to anything. Now, in the case where, you know, the man's the provider, there's also scenarios where the woman still has money. She just doesn't have to be spending it. So yes, he might be the provider, but he's also encouraging her and helping her save her money. So she might stack like $300,000-$400,000 in her checking and savings account, even though he's paying the bills and doing whatever. So this whole idea that, you know, that because the man pays, that the woman is just broke or not doing anything is just a false narrative. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact is women are going out and making things happen on a number of different levels. Sometimes they use their feminine energy to make things happen and make money. Sometimes they use their masculine. It's really up to them how they want to do it. But these narratives that these coaches are talking about and these influencers is completely and totally false. And it's really for entertainment purposes only. It's not real.
I want to dive into that a bit more because there's still a lot of women still feel a sense of shame, as I was saying earlier, because there's this idea that, you know, men, heterosexual men want a feminine or desire feminine women more than a masculine woman. And so if a woman is the financial provider, then there's this assumption that, okay, well, she must be a masculine woman who is then emasculating her man. And so like the relationship can't be a good relationship. And so a lot of women feel like if I need to be feminine, I should never pay for anything because I want to stay in the feminine whole side of the relationship. So I'm not going to pay for anything at all ever. And if I do end up paying for stuff, then that means that I'm a masculine woman. That's what people believe. So what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, again, that's not true. I mean, you can be a feminine woman and you can be rich. The way you do it, for example, like to give you a direct scenario, if a woman and her man goes out to eat and she wants to pay for the meal, the way the man stays in his masculine, even though he's not paying, is he interfaces with the waiter. So he orders the food. When the check comes, he grabs his wife's, you know, credit card or grabs it before they even get to the restaurant, and he handles, you know, writing down the tip and that kind of stuff. So when my wife would sometimes treat me to dinner or take me out, like I would do those things. So I would be the one interfacing with the waiter. I would figure out the tip and do all that stuff. But, you know, she's the one who's actually paying. Right. So that's an example of like the masculine and feminine. Again, this whole narrative that feminine means broke and no money and that masculine means having money is just, again, this is the influencers kind of making up these things. They don't know what they're talking about. It's for entertainment purposes only. In terms of a woman working, meaning that she's masculine, she might be masculine at work. Again, everybody uses masculine energy, but she might be masculine or she might not be masculine. So a lot of women are making money and they're in their feminine because they have other people doing key things for them inside their business or whatever it might be. And really all they're doing is kind of reviewing where things are or counting the money or whatever it might be. But it doesn't really matter. The point is how you actually treat your man when you're home. Mm-hmm. So she can go out and let's say she's being masculine at work. Yeah. If she comes home and she's being soft and feminine and those types of things, then that's all that really counts. The other thing I understand, the same thing with men, like people think, well, just because you're a man and you're out working, it means you're masculine. That's not true either. Mm-hmm. Sometimes men come home and they're acting like really feminine, or they're more so in their androgynous energy and they're not really actually being masculine, meaning they're not able to hold space for their woman. They're not able to do the things they need to support her, you know, when they get home from work, or they get frustrated easy, or they get angry easy. That shows they have low emotional intelligence as a man. So that means these men are not masculine either. Mm. Again, people really confuse when we talk about masculine and feminine, about what that is, what that looks like inside relationships. And it's just really, these influences are really confusing people. Mm. On top of that, there's this concept that somehow feminine energy means submissiveness. And those two things are completely different concepts. Submissiveness has nothing to do with feminine energy. Just like masculine energy has nothing to do with dominance. Those are completely different concepts. You can be feminine as a woman, but also be dominant. So for example, the Orisha Oshun, which in our program we call the lover, she's a feminine Orisha, but she's also dominant, okay? Just like, you know, the negotiator archetype, which is a masculine archetype in our system, which corresponds to Eshu and that kind of stuff. He's a masculine archetype, but he's also submissive. So people don't understand this whole concept about masculinity and dominance and femininity and submissive. They think they mean the same things and they don't. So as a woman, you could be masculine, right? Where you go out and you're doing your business and doing all that kind of stuff, but you're also still naturally submissive. So you hear a lot of these influencers and dating coaches saying stupid stuff like, yeah, you talking about women, you go to work and you listen to your boss and you submit to him and you come home, you don't submit to me. Well, no, I mean, she's doing what she naturally does. She's masculine, which means she's going out and getting after it. But because she's naturally submissive, it's easier for her to submit to her boss or her leader. And then when she comes home, she's still naturally submissive. But you're mistaking her masculine energy for not being submissive. And the fact is you're not being a leader as a man, and therefore she's not able to submit to you. Because the truth is, if you are in your leader as a man, if you're in your masculinity as a man and your dominance as a man, then your woman is going to be feminine and she's also going to be submissive. That's what these men don't understand. They think that women need to be that first, and then somehow that honors their masculinity and dominance. No. If you want a feminine and a submissive woman, then you need to be masculine and dominant all the time. But the problem is that these men don't know what masculinity and dominance actually is. Mm-hmm. So they're doing this bravado BS. You see what I'm saying? And again, they have low emotional intelligence. So they're not able to really deal with their women in the proper way. And the women feel unprotected. They feel exposed by these men. They feel like they're not safe around these men. And those are the signs that you're not actually masculine, that you're not actually dominant. If a woman is around you, she doesn't feel safe around you, doesn't feel protected around you, right? Doesn't feel like she's able to express her feelings and emotions around you, then you're not masculine or you're not dominant. And that's the issue. These men believe just because they are male body human beings that they're automatically masculine and dominant, and they're not. A lot of these male-bodied human beings have never learned how to be masculine, have never learned how to be truly dominant, have never learned what true leadership is and true accountability is. And that's why they're out here complaining about women. The reason why I'm where I'm at in terms of my ability to date a number of women is because I understand how to be inside my masculinity, inside of my dominance. So women feel secure around me. That's why women are able to talk to me about the real deal with their relationships and what's really going on inside their marriage, is because they know they can talk to me, that I'll be able to hold space for them. I'm not going to judge them on how they're feeling. A lot of these men are going to end up judging women on how they're feeling, or when women try to express their feelings. And that makes women feel unsafe. You're not really a man. If you can't, you know, create a scenario or an environment where your woman feels safe, you're not really inside your masculine, inside your manhood. That's what these men don't understand, these influencers don't understand. Again, what they're doing is just for entertainment purposes only. And that's fine. You know, like I like going to the movies and watching comedy shows. And sometimes I like watching the influencers talk crap on their podcasts. But I don't really take their advice to heart. Like, if I follow what these people are talking about, my life's going to be a mess, like theirs are. And like a lot of people who listen to them, most of the people who listen to these people don't have their life together. So it's kind of like liking attracting like. You see what I'm saying? As quiet as kept, the women who are breadwinners and having a great marriage and great relationship, or they're being taken care of by their man as a breadwinner, whatever it is, like, these women really aren't talking too much. They're not online. They're not complaining. They're not all loud about it. They're just living their best life. So the people who are talking the loudest tend to be the ones who don't really have their stuff together. And that includes these influencers.
I have two questions for you, Rocky.
Okay.
So are you saying that a man can be in relationship with a woman who is making more money than him? Let's just say she's making five times what he's making. You know, she's making seven figures, he's making six figures, whatever. Are you saying that within that relationship, the man can still be masculine and dominant, even though his wife makes five times what he makes?
Absolutely. Yeah. A man, me being inside my masculine energy has nothing to do with anything other than me. So how much money my wife makes, or what anybody else outside of me is doing, has no control or influence over me and where I'm inside my masculinity, or inside my dominance, or inside my androgyny. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's the bottom line. Like, for some reason, again, these influencers, they don't know what they're talking about. They're putting out there that you can't be inside your masculine if somebody outside of you is doing a particular thing. No, that's not true. I choose how I show up every day. I choose my mindset. Just because my wife is making more money than me doesn't mean that I'm not masculine. Doesn't mean I'm not secure in my manhood. So I just want people to understand that. You see what I'm saying? Like, and the same thing goes the opposite way. Like, as a woman, you have to choose to be feminine. It doesn't matter what your man is doing or anybody else around you is doing. Your femininity is your choice. How you show up, how you carry yourself, how you think, how you present, that's all on you. So if you're blaming your man for you not being feminine, then you don't understand life. That's like blaming people for you not being rich, or blaming other people because you're out of shape. I mean, it's the same concept. You know, people aren't out of shape because of their man or their woman. They're out of shape because of the choices that they make every day. Same thing with their health. Your health is determined by the choices you make every day. So the same thing with your femininity, your masculinity, your submissiveness, your dominance is based on the choices that you make every day, and how you live your life has got nothing to do with how much somebody else is making. It's got zero to do with it.
Well, my next question is, what would you say to women who are perhaps struggling financially? You know, they're exhausted from working. They feel as if they're forced to be masculine in order to make money. And so, you know, a lot of these women, they really, really, really want a man with money who can take the burden off of them. And so, you know, they're like, I don't want a dusty. I want a man who's going to pay my bills. What do you say to those women, Rakim?
Yeah, I think it's fine. If you're a woman and you want a man to take care of you and pay your bills, I think it's fine. Just like if you're a man and you want a woman to take care of you and pay your bills, that's fine too. So if you're that woman, then you have to do the things that are required to make yourself attractive and to magnetize that situation. Most of these women don't understand that there's work you have to do. You got to tap into your feminine energy. You don't know what feminine energy is. So because you don't know what feminine energy is, you're not able to magnetize and attract these men and scenarios to you. So you're just thinking that you're entitled to it, or you think if you just dress differently, like that's going to fix it, or something very light. And maybe it will, but usually you've got to do deeper work. Mm-hmm. You know, again, this whole concept that women think that you don't have to do any work to achieve an outcome in life is not true. You got to go deeper into your feminine energy, deeper into your feminine consciousness, start to make those changes and do that inner work on yourself. And as you do that, you'll see yourself begin to attract scenarios that you're looking for. Until you do that work, nothing's going to change. Okay. So that's, you know, that's what I say to those women. I think it's great if you want to create that for yourself. I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. I'm all for whatever choices you want to make in your relationship. If you want to be taken care of completely from start to until you transition out of this lifetime, beautiful. I support it. But just understand there's certain things you'll need to do in order to attract that scenario to you. And if you're not willing to do it, then you're not going to be able to attract it.
Okay. Wow. Okay. You know, I've spoken to a number of women who are in a marriage where their husband pays for everything, absolutely everything, even women whose boyfriend pays for everything. And in many of those scenarios, I'm not saying this represents all, but in many of those scenarios, you know, they have to ask their husband for permission to purchase things. Like they can't just, like for coaching, for example, they can't just like decide that, okay, I want coaching, I'm going to pay for it. They got to go and ask their husband or boyfriend if he will agree to pay for coaching. And so like they're in this situation where like they can't just like decide to buy what they want. They have to get him to agree first before they can even buy what they want. And so they end up like missing out on things that their husband doesn't agree to. And that's something that we don't really talk about. We think that, okay, yeah, just get with a rich man and, you know, you're going to just have this beautiful, amazing life. But sometimes there's stipulations that he gets to control all the financial decisions.
But yeah, I told you that a lot of men they put themselves in that position for control purposes. And you can tell which men do that versus the men who don't. So for example, the men who don't do that, they're not paying for everything so they control their wife. What those men will do is set their wives up with separate accounts and say, they'll put like $10,000 in there, $50,000, $100,000, whatever it is, and say, you go do you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to report to me when you spend money. You don't have to ask my permission. Just let me know when you need more and I'll send it to you and you go do your thing. So when men function in that way, you know that they're not trying to control their women. Mm-hmm. Based on being the financial provider. Men who force their wives to come ask them permission for everything, those are the men who are providing so they can have control primarily. And those are insecure men, and those are beta males as well.
I have a friend, former client, who she was a housewife for over 30 years, had 5 children with her husband. And long story short, she ended up cheating on him. She had an affair. And when he passed away, because he was much, much older than her, so he's already passed away, he changed his will and he left her nothing. No money at all. You know, so that's another thing too, like, is that like your husband might not leave anything for you, you know, because of, you know, something that happened. And he could just decide to pull the rug out from under you. And now you have no skills. You don't know, like you don't know anything. And now you're left with nothing. And that does sometimes happen to women.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, there's a movie called The Counselor. Mm-hmm. And Cameron Diaz plays the antagonist in that movie. And she has a famous line. The line is, there's nothing crueler than a coward. Mm-hmm. Right. And that what you described is that man who took his wife out the will. Mm-hmm. Right. So basically, again, beta male behavior. Right. Because his wife did certain things that hurt his feelings or whatever, he took her out of the will. He should never have done that. Even the fact that she cheated or whatever. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. He should have divorced her. Mm-hmm. Now, if in the case that they were actually married, then she's going to be entitled to whatever. That's just the laws of most states. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a lot of males like that. that they will do certain things, punitive things against their wife, because they never really loved her to begin with. You see what I'm saying? So as an example, she couldn't come to him and communicate how she really felt because he probably didn't really care what she wanted. So she felt like she had to go sneak and do her own thing. A lot of men feel the same way too. They feel like they can't go to their wives and say how they're really feeling, what they really want. So they go and sneak and do their own thing.
You know, I have another thing I want to bring up to you, Rakim, because I was talking to a male friend of mine the other day, and he was telling me with his ex-girlfriend, who he dated for like a year or so, he said he was literally spending $6,000 a month on her every month for the whole year. And he said she was still complaining. And he said he would get angry at her because in his mind, it was like, okay, I'm paying all your bills. I'm spending $6,000 a month on you. And you still have the nerve to complain to me? Like, what the fuck? Like, like a lot of times men that are paying for everything, like, they don't want to hear any complaining.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You can be a man paying for everything. That doesn't mean you're actually being masculine and dominant and being a leader in the relationship. So just being the breadwinner in a relationship does not substitute for masculine energy. I was trying to tell you earlier that and trying to explain that just because a man's paying for everything doesn't mean he's actually masculine. So what happens is because the man is paying for everything, but because the man's not masculine, the woman's still not happy. So it's not just like women don't, at the end of the day, women, I know a lot of women who want their man to pay, but the point is what women are really looking for is a man who's inside his masculinity, a man who makes them feel safe, a man who makes them feel secure, a man who can listen to them without being offended and getting angry and upset. You know, a man who's able to, you know, connect with them sexually in a very strong and powerful way, a man who, you know, protects them in a very powerful way and provides, you know, certain levels of emotional security for them. Like, these are some of the things that women are actually looking for. And so just because you're paying a woman's bills doesn't mean she feels that those other things, you know, happening, because it's usually not. Again, a lot of men are paying as a way to compensate for where they're short in other areas of their masculinity and manhood. So again, this whole thing about, oh, a real man pays, like, you know, these people are trying to equate money with masculinity, and I'm telling you it's not true, because women and feminine energy can also attract money. So it's not about that. It's got to be more than that. That's not going to sustain a relationship. And I get it. I know a lot of women want that, and I think it's great. If you want that, then get a man who pays for everything. But you need to understand that that's not going to be able to sustain you if he's not bringing other masculine traits to the table.
Yeah. So I'm going to bring another scenario to you. And this is another situation I've encountered with some of my clients who they're with their dark masculine man. They live with him and they're making more money than him and they're providing for him. They're paying for most of the bills, if not all. You know, I have one woman, she paid off his entire credit card, you know. And so in many of these scenarios where the woman is giving him money, she's buying him things, she's, you know, giving him loans that he never pays back or whatever. A lot of times these women, they eventually get really resentful towards their dark masculine man. And after a few years of doing this, they really start to get sick of him. And they start thinking about like breaking up with him because now he feels like a man child and he feels like a burden. And on top of that, they're not getting enough sex from him anymore. So it's like, it's not even worth the investment anymore. And so a lot of women, like, eventually they get frustrated with having to constantly pay for this man or provide for him. So what do you have to say about that scenario?
Yeah, it's a complicated scenario. A lot of times those are women who are trying to control their man. The same way I said the men try to control the women through pain, the women are trying to control the man through pain. You see what I'm saying? So eventually they get the man to move in, they're paying all his bills because they're really trying to manipulate him into being something that they want from him. And so he ends up making these changes. But again, what these women have done is they've actually handicapped this man so that he can't actually be inside of his masculinity. In other words, the man that they were attracted to, who was out running wild and doing his own thing and probably having sex with other women, is no longer that man. You brought him into the house, you domesticated him. And because that was what your plan was. You don't want any other woman to have him.
Yes.
You don't want him out running around. You want to have complete and total control over him, control over his phone and his finances and all that. So yeah, he's not the same man you're attracted to. And the other thing too is, just like I told you, masculinity is not equivalent to money. Well, femininity is not equivalent to money either. Money has nothing to do with masculine or feminine. So just because she's paying doesn't make her more feminine or more attractive. You see what I'm saying? So that doesn't really mean anything in terms of like the raw connection, the raw attraction between two people. I'm sure he's appreciative, just like women are appreciative of the man paying, but it doesn't really do anything for the actual connection. So she has to, that's why I said it's about choices. Like these particular men who live with their women have to do the things for them that are going to help maintain their masculinity. Go out and get a hobby, or do something that has you go out there hustling and making moves or whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? But because they don't understand that, they've seen their masculinity kind of die down because this woman has manipulated them into just being basically a captive in the home.
Those are strong words. So how does a wealthy woman not emasculate her man? If she's agreeing to pay for everything or most things, how does she avoid emasculating him?
Well, yeah, her and any other woman, you don't manipulate him into being something that he's not. So if you're going to pay, then pay. But don't make that payments, don't tie that to him doing a particular thing. Like, I'll pay your bills if you're loyal to me or you're exclusive or whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah, if you're going to give a gift or if you're going to make an offering to somebody, do it out of love and don't have anything tied to it. That's how you don't emasculate your man. Stop manipulating him and stop complaining about what he's not doing and all this kind of stuff. All that's going to do is just wear down his masculinity. You know, a woman who's complaining and kind of and constantly nagging and talking about what she doesn't have, like, that's not something that's going to like really build a man up. Again, if she needs support from him, then she should ask for support. If he's able to give support, then great. If not, you got to go find it from somebody else. Find a sisterhood or find, coaches or counselors who can actually support you where he can't. But this is the man you chose. You chose a man who can't offer you support, who can't hold space for you. But that's your choice. So go find the support somewhere else. Don't yell at him. Don't constantly complain about him. That's not the man you chose. If you want to change it, then go find a man who can support you emotionally, who can hear what you have to say and, hold space for you. So again, for rich women or any woman to not emasculate a man, they basically stop trying to manipulate him into being something that he's not. Let him do his thing. Let him, develop his masculinity in his own way, and then he'll be fine. But, most women have a hard time, doing that. They're always trying to change their men, always trying to force them to show up in a particular way. And it's going to backfire on them every single time. It's just going to wear down his testosterone. And eventually he's going to be, just a shell of what he once was.
Wow. So my last question for you, Rakim, and this is something that I've struggled with, not just with you, but with my ex-husband, during the times when I have been the breadwinner, or times when, I pay money to you or give money to you. Like, how does a woman feel good about herself when she's giving money to a man or spending money on a man or providing financially for a man, when there's so much out there saying that, if you're a feminine woman, you shouldn't pay for anything. If you're a feminine woman, you shouldn't pay for anything. How does a woman counter all of that noise?
Yeah, she shouldn't listen to that noise. Again, all that noise is all bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It's like I told you, it's just for entertainment purposes. It's just to kind of get people to be angry, be upset, to get clicks, to get likes. all that stuff these people are talking about is complete and total bullshit. You know, ask any woman, would you rather have $1 billion in the bank or would you rather have your current financial situation? Okay. Every woman's going to say $1 billion, right? And every woman is going to want to share that money with the man she loves and the people she loves and her family and that kind of thing. That's just human nature. So how do you feel good as a woman spending money on a man? You celebrate the fact that you actually have the money and that most of these women out here who are complaining don't have it at all because they haven't done the work required to actually make that kind of money or have that kind of success. If you are a woman and you have the means and the ability to spend money on your man, and that's what you want to do, not because of pressure or whatever, but because you want to buy him a gift or treat him to whatever, then go ahead and do it. You should feel good that you're able to provide some things for other people, for your man, for your husband, whatever it is. You know, and men, the bottom line is, you know, men value women who have money, period, point blank, because it shows that they're about something. It shows that they have, you know, abilities and skills and all these things. Now, again, I'm not saying that these men are looking for somebody who's going to, you know, complain and always, you know, challenge and manipulate them. But yeah, as men, we respect and value women who provide value. And the value is not just you being feminine or whatever. No, the value is in your skills and your abilities, including the money you're able to make. There's this narrative out there that, oh, women have money and men don't have access to it. That's complete and total bullshit. Again, people just making that up. In the real world, when you're with a woman and she has money and you're a man and you're masculine, you have access to that money, period, point blank. You know, that becomes our money to a degree. Now, of course, she's going to have hers, you're going to have yours, but we also have ours. And ours comes from yours and mine. And we have access to that money as a family, as a unit. That's the reality of the world. Okay. So anybody who's saying something different is just somebody who never really actually experienced that, who's never actually had money or been with somebody with money and actually seen what it's like to actually relate to people successfully in those scenarios. But anybody who thinks that men don't want women with money are completely and totally insane. I've heard people say that. I have a client, you know, like one of her boyfriend, he has that same narrative, you know, like men don't want women with money, X, Y, and Z. Yet he got with her. She got her own house. She got her own job. And he rejected the women who were broke. You know what I'm saying? So the woman he actually, you know, proposed to and chose to be with was the woman with money. Her own car, you know, her own luxury car, her own house in her name. You see what I'm saying? So I hear what people are saying out there. But again, what they're saying is not correct. It's not real. Men value women who provide value. Women value men who provide value. We all do. All human beings value people who provide value, period. Now, again, what that value is and how we prioritize it will be different for each one of us. But there's no man on the planet, unless he's insecure and he wants to control his woman, has an issue with his woman having money, period, point blank.
Wow. Okay. I do have one more question that did come up. Some women have this fear that, okay, all right, fine. I have the money. I'm rich. I could spend money on him. I have the ability to do that. But then there's that fear what if he doesn't really love, like, what if he's only with me because I can spend money on him? Like, how do I actually know that he loves me?
Well, you can ask him if he loves you and then listen to what he says. But the important thing is the same thing with men. If you're a woman, you have money, you should not lead with money. Okay. You shouldn't be leading. Like, a lot of men lead with money. They start spending money on women, first date, you know, beginning of the relationship. And so, yeah, if you lead with money, that's what she's going to expect for the rest of the relationship. And if you pull the money back at some point, she's going to either break up with you or have a major issue with that. Because why? Because you led with money. If I lead with great sex, then my wife and, you know, my partners are going to want great sex going forward. Okay. If I pull that great sex back, they're going to have an issue. So if you're a woman with money, and you don't want the man to just love you for money or just respect you for your money, then don't lead with money. Lead with you, your personality, the common things you all like to do, that kind of stuff. And then you interject the money here and there as you all move along. That's how that works.
Wow. Okay. That was amazing, Rakim. Wow. Where can people find you and follow you and hire you, Rakim Sekou?
People can come to my scheduling site, which is carlestevensjr.as.me. You can schedule a consultation with me there. Or you can go to my school, mysteryschool.live, and check me out there. Sign up for some courses. Some feminine, queendom, and goddess courses can be found.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Rakim Sekou. I really appreciate you being on my show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Leslie.